Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Plumbing, welcome in on the hotline right now. Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Commissioner Steve Murray. He joins us here on the Fan Morning Show. Steve, good morning. How is everything?
Hanging in there. Good morning to you. But yeah, it's been a rough few days.
Yeah, you know, and we see the reports. The board of directors voted Tuesday to suspend all mandated conference athletic events through the fall semester, in through the first of the year. Was there a rolling referendum that was happening throughout the summer, or was there kind of one moment that happened, and then you were like, we got to bag this? How did it go down?
We got ourselves through the spring semester and got everybody graduated and everything. And then we started our first meetings for planning on about May 15th. And our athletic administrators started working not only in working groups, but also full group meetings every week for both the working groups and the larger group met every week. And then the presidents were meeting every 2 weeks to approve anything that was being changed or passed for league policies for what we had hoped to be, a normal start this fall. A lot of things were going on with the NCAA and changing scheduling and number of contests. So we had to keep up with that. Probably early in June, we started really getting into the nitty gritty of the medical side of things. So our strength and conditioning and our athletic trainer sports medicine groups were making recommendations and policies. And I felt pretty good that we were going to be able to manage some things, well into June, to tell you the truth. But about 3 weeks ago, when we finally put down and got to the point where we were talking about policies relative to how we were going to test or require testing if possible, and then deal with symptomatic or positive tested athletes and their teams, that's when it kind of flashed in my eyes and saying, I don't know that we can honestly manage this and give these kids a fair crack at a season under the current situations. And I think one of the things that and it'll be coming out today, so I guess maybe you and your fans or listeners might want to watch, the NCAA is going to come out with a new set of guidelines today that are going to be pretty restrictive and kind of more, up to this point, they've been more on the guidance side of things. Now they're saying, okay, this is what you need to do and have to do. And they're going to be pretty tough. Maybe only some Power Fives are going to be able to probably manage the level of testing that's going to be needed going forward for the fall. So that was kind of about 3 weeks ago. I saw that come in, and we had a meeting with our presidents, and the presidents asked me to come back and say, get with the athletic administrator, show us how a spring-only format might work. And we busted our rear ends for a couple weeks getting that ready, and then we showed that to the presidents and that, you know, that we could make a crack at that and try to make it work. So I guess probably about 3 weeks ago I said, I don't know that this is something that we're going to be able to do at our size and our level and the resources that we have.
Well, yeah, I wanted to get into that idea before we get into the details of what a spring schedule might look like for different sports, including football, Steve. Is it simply a matter of the fact that your member institutions are D2 schools and they simply they don't have the resources available to enact these NCAA, what will go from guidance to restrictions, basically? And is it based on that decision alone, the fact that you don't have the resources at these institutions, or is it based on the fact that no institution really of any size is going to be able to keep their athletes within these guidelines?
I think it's going to be difficult for any institution. I mean, when you talk resources, when Harvard's telling you they don't have the resources or the medical, you know, or the ability to protect their kids, you know that it's going to take a lot, you know. So when the Ivy League, and we had known the Ivy League was probably, there's rumors about them going out. So that was kind of almost a little bit of a wake-up call to a lot of people, too, saying, wow, you know, that's a big group of people. They obviously are very attuned to the medical side of things that maybe institutionally some of our institutions don't have access to that kind of information, but also they certainly have the resources to be able to do those kinds of things. I think for most of us, at the end of the day, the number one thing was, can we keep every student safe? Can we keep every employee safe as best we can? And when you go out and you play sports without mask on, or practice without mask on, and you can't social distance and do it. So I think that at the end of the day, it really was more, obviously the medical side came into it, but I think just the pure safety side of things going forward.
Steve Murray joins us, the commissioner of the PSAC. Now, I was looking at your bio. You worked at Centenary in Louisiana, right?
I did, for
6 years. We've had this discussion on the Fan Morning Show. You take a place like LSU, right? And yeah. You look at the revenues that could be lost in the five parish area in and around Baton Rouge on Saturdays if they don't have games.
Right.
Is there a real factor in the revenues in these particular places, Tuscaloosa, Baton Rouge, Clemson, Gainesville, that is going to be factored in, do you believe?
I would imagine that. Oakland and Pittsburgh, you know, I mean, what happens there, you know, or I guess it down to the point more. I don't know how you do those things. I mean, I think it's communal decisions that have to be involved. I get where the Power Five are probably as much a delay as they can, although I think you see the moves that they've made in the last week or so with going conference only, delaying an extra couple of weeks. I think a lot of it buys them time. The realities are it's devastating. I mean, it's devastating to everybody. I mean, I'll give you the men's basketball tournament not being played in Division One is that's the NCAA's only source of income. 97% of the NCAA's income is off of the television contract for the men's basketball tournament. They don't make any money on football. So, but the Power Five, I think their income is probably derived primarily from the television contracts for football. So, you know, there's big issues there that there are certainly economic issues that I think, you know, we're probably facing 2 or 3 years of financial difficulties for all institutions to recoup if we can even get in front of this thing in the next 6 months.
PSAC Commissioner Steve Murray, our guest here on the Fan Morning Show. Let's turn then to if finances remain solvent at all of these institutions across America to continue playing sports, or at least the big ones, let's talk about football. What does a spring football season look like, at least in the PSAC, and in your conversations with other administrators, how similar would that look to D1 institutions, if you have any idea?
Well, I don't know. I mean, so for us, obviously we have up here in this part of the country a little thing called winter, so we're not going to be getting out and practicing probably until, you know, March the 1st or so. So we have kind of, you know, penciled in an idea that we would start practice around March the 1st. Practice usually is formatted to 25 days at the Division II level, so we would be able to probably play games by the late end of March. Our scheduling is our league. In Division II, you're allowed to play 11 games. We have historically controlled 10 of those of our member institutions. But to get our divisional play in, which is what we base most of everything that we do, divisional takes 7 games. So we would probably look at tentatively an 8-week schedule, which would mean a 7-game divisional schedule plus an 8th game, which we call a crossover between the two divisions, which would also allow our two divisional champions to play each other for a conference championship. So we'd look at an 8-week season. We were probably going to only maybe play 9 games this fall had things gone well, because there were some changes in the NCAA Division II formulas for a number of games that we were going to play. We had done some cuts. So it's only, in theory, one less game that we have tentatively scheduled for the spring than we would have had in the fall. And we can finish in probably about mid-May, which is right around graduation for most of our institutions. So it wouldn't necessarily extend the school year for those institutions, and I think we could get it done. It's not going to be easy. We were in even where you fit it into the calendar, because we'd have so many sports going on at the same time. We were actually had a model up there that maybe we should go to Sunday football in Division II, because everybody may be looking for something to do on Sundays.
Last thing for you, we're joined by PSAC Commissioner Steve Murray. Are you confident right now as we stand? I guess there are so many moving parts. It's tough to do anything in confidence. You can't even go to the grocery store in confidence. But as you have it slated out right now, that you'll start basketball at the turn of the calendar in the new year?
Yes. So, I mean, there's a little bit of moving parts with December right now. The ideal situation for me in our model would be that we would be able to allow our basketball teams to start practicing right around or after their semester finals in early to mid-December. They would need at least 3 weeks to practice, and then we would be able to go as early as January 2nd or 3rd. We would have probably a 16 to 18 game conference schedule, which is what we were going to play anyhow, and then go into the calendar for the NCAA championship. So we want to try to fit everything in so the winter championships and the spring championships meet the NCAA calendars for if their championship still continues. So it'll be tough. There's one, whether we keep students over the Christmas break is going to be probably a question whether we want to, because if we send them home for 7 days, then we might have to come back and kind of restart the whole resocialization process and get everybody kind of checked out again. So that's going to be a little bit of a conversation that we have, how early in January we can get started if we take a break from practices and let them go home for a little bit over Christmas.
Steve, your candor is very appreciated. Great conversation this morning. We thank you so very much, and we'll talk again soon.
Well, don't hesitate. We appreciate the attention and support and able to get our information out there.
Definitely. Thank you so very much. Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Commissioner Steve Murray. Chris, I found that to be very informative. And you could sort of use that to kind of put it over and template over a lot of things in Division I football or Division I athletics. In just all of athletics, and that tidbit about in terms of the testing today that is going to come out, that it's going to be so stringent that there's just going to be a few schools that are going to be able to potentially go through with these things, that the Power Fives
right.
might be the only ones that are able to do this. That's there's a lot of news value in that.
Well, yeah, and that puts the onus on Power Five schools then and the Power Five conferences to decide if they want to push into some sort of college football season this fall without the rest of the Division I apparatus. And if that's the case, what's it look like? And if not, what does the possible contingency of a spring season look like? I think Steve outlining the idea, and I imagine D1 would be somewhat in line with D2 as far as you can't get out and start really practicing until the weather breaks in early March. If that's the case, you're not talking about a big window before you start to run into the end of spring semesters in the middle of May and then Memorial Day, and then all of a sudden you're right back in the summer again and you're talking about a fall season.
The only thing different with Division I and Division II is the lack thereof or the advantage of the indoor facilities with a lot of the Division I's.
Correct.
So that would be the only difference is the facilities, but his point is very well taken in terms of the schedule and the structure as it fits on the calendar. Absolutely, positively, I think it would be about the same. Great stuff from Steve. We appreciate him joining us today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.